The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
This is the Steve Noble Show, but this is not Steve Noble. This is Chris Connell. I am Steve's equally obnoxious friend, and it is great to have you guys with us. And somehow my speaker is on my laptop. So anyway, was that there? Was that the computer? Was it me? Oh, man, I didn't think it was on at all anyway. So my apologies, technical difficulties here. How are y'all doing today? Well, listen, today we have a great guest here with us on the Steve Noble Show. And the reason why I wanted to bring them on was because we are living, obviously, in very unprecedented times. And as such, we are facing such uncertainty. And my guest is what I would consider to be an expert in the Generation Z, young people who were born between the 90s and what, the early 2000s. And we have this whole woke culture thing going on right now. We have division like we've never seen it, at least in this generation, politically. We've got the COVID situation. We've got mask, don't mask. Vaccine, don't vaccine. We've got the Black Lives Matter movement. We've got the situations in our culture with gender identity, right? Sexuality, sanctity of life, sanctity of marriage, sanctity of our gender, as I mentioned. And I'm really curious, what is the Generation Z? What do they think about all this stuff? What do they think about what's going on the planet? And my guest said to me something a moment ago, and I'm going to introduce him here in a second. You know, you've heard of the greatest generation, that World War II generation. Currently, Gen Z is the biggest generation on the planet.
Absolutely.
Biggest generation on the planet. So welcome to the Steve Noble Show, Pastor Pepper Elliott. He's probably the greatest youth pastor, in my opinion, that I know on the planet right now. And you are a youth pastor at Cross Assembly with Chad Harvey. I also work there myself. And you've been ministering to this generation for a while. You've been a youth pastor for, what, 5 years now?
Yeah, almost six.
All right. And married?
Yep.
How many years you and Kyla been married now?
Almost six.
Almost 6 years. Yep. And then you've got two kids, right?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. So you've been ministering for the last 6 years. And before that, you were involved in church ministry. You also grew up in the church. I actually went to college with one of your uncles. And I think I just missed your mom and dad. I feel like we were around each other, but not as much.
Yeah.
First off, talk to me about Generation Z. Like, what age range are we talking about when we talk about Gen Z right now?
Yeah, so right now with Gen Z, we're talking about college. A couple Gen Zers are just coming out of college, so they're starting to get into the workplace. And then you're talking about definitely into high school and later middle school right now, as Gen Alpha is kind of coming up behind them into the beginnings of middle school. So basically, students right now who are from middle school to college is the bulk of that Gen Z community.
Okay, so that generation has grown up with iPhones, YouTube, TikTok, and I've lost track of all the other social media tools that are out there, right?
Yep.
You have a very conservative view of the world, right? You are an evangelical follower of Christ, and I've sat in your services. My kids have sat in your services. I have a son that's involved in your youth ministry now. And the messages that you teach and the way you preach are not very woke.
No.
Right? They're not very woke at all. You have a very conservative view about gender identity. You have a very conservative view about sanctity of marriage, sanctity of life, right? I'm curious how the Gen Z generation responds to that teaching. And I'm also curious how much of that crowd that you're speaking to is just kids growing up in the church, or if you're getting kids that are coming from outside the church?
Gen Z is a very spectrumy generation as a whole, meaning so you'll have kids who obviously have a family that is very solid, very in Christ. You can trust that they're getting adequate biblical knowledge presented on the home front. But there's a huge spectrum of everything where you have this group of kids who are attending and they attend because that's what they're told they're supposed to do because their parents are more of the traditionalist type.
Yeah, and you've got a bunch of homeschoolers. I know that.
That is true. That is true. I will say we're working on that mainly because we're working on commissioning kids. It has very little to do with being, you know, anti-homeschool. Some people might present it as that, but something I like to share with our students all the time is in order to call yourself a Christian, you have to have a mission field. We're given a very clear job description. And I see there's a bit of a hunger for that in this generation. And I think that the roots that they're developing are really good. And I believe that because of, you know, essentially what you're talking about. How do they respond to what they're seeing around them? Gen Z internalizes a lot of things. And a lot of people mistake that for being a knock on their character or how they handle things socially. Also, it causes them to get lumped in with millennials. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact,
if you could define a difference, because you're a millennial,
yeah,
right? So if you could define a difference between millennials and Gen Z, what would you define that the biggest differences between those two generations?
Now, a lot of what I'm about to say isn't going to hit home for a lot of listeners for the next few years. It's going to take a bit of time. It's not going to be until they have a voice in the voting box and things like that that they're going to begin seeing this take place. Like I said, they internalize a lot. The generational difference between millennials and Gen Z is the largest generational gap that we've seen in American history, which is insane.
The largest. Because there's been some big gaps.
Yes.
In the last 100
largest.
Years.
I mean, everything is getting flipped upside down. So you think about the outrageous nature of the millennial, right? I'm going to color my hair the brightest color I possibly can. I'm going to shake my fist at the system.
Millennials get accused a lot of entitlement.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's true or not, but they get accused of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, never knew a world where they had to be like in the hustle and grind of it. You know, they got the benefit of having the naive nature of their young life leading up to as teenagers – feeling like they get to just go get whatever they want because they're told that everything that they do is fantastic. There is a hustle mentality in Gen Z that millennials don't have. Across the board, I think if you look at the traits of millennials, you're going to find conflict with the traits of Gen Z.
My guest is Pepper Elliott, youth pastor extraordinaire, Cross Assembly, the biggest generation on the planet
in life. And so, yeah, that stress and anxiety issue is a major, major complex.
We're back. This is the Steve Noble Show, but this is not Steve Noble. This is Chris Connell, his equally obnoxious friend filling in for him. Steve and I are friends for several years here, and we got a privilege of getting to work together several years ago in a Greg Laurie event. Been friends ever since, and Steve calls me once in a while and says, hey, man, I'm going to be away. Can you cover? Love being on the radio, and I'm not sure anybody else does or not, but I like doing it along with the podcast, and something that Steve put in my head a while back, he said, hey, man, why don't you grab a youth pastor, have him come in the studio, and let's talk about Generation Z and the whole woke culture. And so our guest today is Pastor Pepper Elliott. Welcome. Good to have you here on the Steve Noble Show.
Thank you so much.
And you've been youth pastoring for 6 years and grew up in the ministry. I always feel like, Pepper, that anybody who is in ministry and grew up in it should get an award because I didn't grow up in it, and literally I shouldn't say this on the air, but I'm going to. My wife and I have talked about our kids going into the ministry, and I'm like over my dead body, and my wife's like, that is so not the right attitude. And I'm like, I know, you're absolutely right. And if any of my kids were called, I would totally support them. But you know, I'm always amazed because I feel like anybody who grew up in it, you do get to see behind the scenes the ugliness of ministry, unfortunately, because ministry is people, and people are messy, And so there's almost no way of avoiding that. And I think some kids grow up in the church getting less of that, and some get more.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you've talked to me about some of the stuff you've had to walk through, but I always figure it's an accolade for you to be involved in ministry. You've got two kids now, yep. Right? Little girl and little boy. And you've got a youth group that runs. Gosh, I think one of your low nights is 180 students on a Wednesday night. Plus, you have another. Our church has grown, so now you have another branch of a youth ministry that's, what, 30 to 50 students on top of that. Yep. I think you did a youth camp with how many students went to youth camp?
174.
Yeah, that's man, that's a lot of hormones in one location together.
Week.
Yeah, I know. And I remember talking to you before you went to camp, being like, hi, this is Pepper. That's not really your voice. And afterwards, like, hey, Pastor. You sound like you've been smoking for a week as a camp. It was an amazing camp. You're also your youth group is involved with a missions organization called Speed the Light, which provides transportation tools and other items for those who are spreading the gospel around the world.
Yeah.
You set some audacious goal for your students to raise. So this isn't money the parents are giving. What's your goal this year for these students?
Okay, so first of all, I would say that I started out the year a man of little faith. We were like, $20,000. It's going to be a big year.
Right.
And I went to this event that was about digging water wells in Africa, and I really felt like the Lord really put it on my heart to go in, and I was like, okay. And as a result, we left saying $50,000. And we're at like 40.
Yeah.
So they're killing it.
Yeah, and the year's not over. And you've not really done that through, I mean, you've done a few things, but you've not really done that through fundraisers. You've really just done it through students just saying, hey, you know, let's give of our resources.
Exactly.
And then there's this water well thing, right? Which is, what's the name of it? You call it Death to Something?
Yeah. So we basically started a clothing brand called Death to the Water Crisis. And we've used that as a means to raise money to dig water wells in Africa through a group called WorldServe that partners with Speed the Light.
Yeah. WorldServe is amazing.
It is.
They do good work. So if somebody wanted to buy your merch and help that out, seriously, where could they go to get it?
My goodness. I guess shoot us an email. We never even thought about it. Like, this is so new.
What about your youth group website? What about that? Would there be a site they could go to?
I mean, if you shoot us an email at youth@crossassembly.org,
all right,
we'll get you something.
All right.
We'll make it happen.
It's pretty sweet merch, actually.
It is cool.
I wish I had some on right now, but I don't. So we're talking about the biggest generation on the planet right now is Generation Z. 90s to early 2000s, right, is where that is at. And so those are right now like middle high school, maybe early college is kind of where that's at.
Exactly.
You're a millennial yourself. We're talking about the woke culture and everything going on. And we were talking during the break about this. I've heard statistics, you've heard statistics regarding this generation that and that I want to talk about some of these issues. I want to talk about gender identity. I want to talk about social media. But for a moment, I want to zero in on this. Do you find it's true that you're seeing this generation dealing with more mental health, anxiety, and stress than you anticipated? Because the statistics show that this generation, some of it because of just simple things like COVID and the culture and everything going on, some of them are experiencing stress levels that were tantamount to having PTSD out of going to war. Are you seeing that with your students, the students you're interacting with as well?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, there is an insane amount of stress and anxiety that comes with growing up in cancel culture. I mean, I can't imagine.
So I was going to ask you what's attributing that. So you feel like a part of it is the cancel culture.
I think it's almost the biggest thing, especially since that's directly related to social media. You're talking about a generation that doesn't know life without social media. I mean, I'm from the MySpace generation where we were just getting this thing off the ground, AIM, chat rooms, all that stuff.
Right.
But they only know social media. And so since that's such a major investment of their social reality, to have them being canceled in such a way that, you know, cuts out from under them the job that they might have or the degree that they might get or the school they might be able to attend, you know, now you have a kid who's 10, 11, 12 years old who's trying to figure out whether or not they say something online in a 30-second blip on a TikTok that could possibly cost them when they're 35 years old. And that's a stress that's just absolutely insane and unnecessary when you're talking about kids of that age.
You and I were talking the other day. We were going to a prayer retreat, and you said something to me about this cancel culture, and you said, my experience is that this Gen Z is actually a very conservative generation.
Yep.
Could you explain to Steve's listeners what you meant by that?
Yeah, so this is funny. Now, the general idea of politics or views that have to deal with politics is that the older you get, the more conservative you get. But the baseline for this generation, what they're showing is that they're actually the most conservative generation we've had possibly in the history of the United States.
That's so counterintuitive, Pepper. I mean, it's so – I would say the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I would say no, they're the least conservative.
Yep.
Now, how could that be possible?
So I was reading this article actually from Forbes. And Forbes, I mean, you – to say balanced news source, there's no such thing. Let's just clear that up, right? But Forbes is writing about this generation and about specifically why the left, why progressives should be so concerned about this generation of people, right? You're talking about not only the most fiscally conservative generation. I mean, you're talking about a massive chunk of these kids. I think it was something like 12% have already started saving for retirement. They've already started putting money aside for retirement.
12%.
12%.
Wow.
Yeah. 22%, something around that range, 22% have already built up a savings account and things like that on their own, not through their parents, not that their parents did this for them. In fact, we see that Gen X is a very much do it your way, fly be free type of generation. The parents aren't necessarily instilling this. It's something that they're seeing. It's something that they're gaining information from this whole, you know, information age. And they're taking this information in and they're responding to that information. They're taking it to heart because they're internalizing it. They're thinking on it. They're spending time on it. And so it's producing this conservatism that is absolutely unprecedented.
The biggest generation on the planet appears to be the most stressed generation on the planet. We're here with Pepper Elliott, youth pastor extraordinaire, talking about Gen Z and the woke culture. This is Chris Connell filling for Steve Noble. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Steve Noble Show. This is not Steve Noble. This is Chris Connell. We have a great guest today. His name is Pastor Pepper Elliott, and Pepper is not his nickname. That is actually his birth name.
Facts.
That is amazing, and a great family. He's got a wife, two kids. He's been youth pastor for the last 6 years, got a massive youth group, and ministering to the biggest generation on the planet, which is what we're talking about today, Gen Z. And you said something over the break that I'd love to start off with, and that is, how do we communicate to the Gen Z generation? Because I was telling you an anecdote about my sons, who are both Gen Zers, and they're upstairs. We live downstairs pretty much. And so to communicate with them, it used to be we could yell up the stairs, but then they have their earbuds in. And then I would use a two-way radio thing and an intercom. Well, that didn't work either. So now no, we could walk upstairs, so we're just being lazy. We text them, like literally, hey guys, you know, dinner's ready, you know, and I'm in the same household, you know, and that's literally the best way to communicate with them. But that probably has nothing to do with what you're going to say. But let's talk to the generations that aren't Gen Z and give us your thoughts on the best way to communicate with Gen Z.
Well, I've noticed that in growing youth ministries versus not growing youth ministries currently, what I'm seeing is that the youth ministries that are holding tight to the projected direction of the generation based on what millennials were are starting to fall short. They're starting to see students leave their youth ministry en masse because they're not accounting for what we talked about earlier, that large gap between millennials and Gen Zers who said, no, we're looking at that and we don't want any part of it. And so they're having a hard time communicating to them, and there's these other youth ministries who are willing to notice who Gen Z is. And I think in order to communicate, the first thing that you have to figure out is who are these people, right? Couple negatives about Gen Z. I like to start out with negatives because I like, you know, save the best for last. They're pretty terrible at connecting. Nobody would disagree with that. They're terrible at inferring things. They want you to be direct. They're slow to open up. They have a short attention span. Now, as a result, I believe that they are overdiagnosed with ADD, ADHD, Asperger's, and autism. I think that they look at those
traits. Now,
you're
not saying those things don't exist.
Exactly. No, they definitely do. But for us to see this sharp incline out of the blue, what could that possibly be? Well, if I list those as negatives for a whole generation, well, then those are a lot of the negatives that you see with people who are ADD, ADHD, have Asperger's, autism, somewhere on that spectrum. I would go so far as to say that they are undeveloped in those areas, but that they're undeveloped more nurturally than naturally, right? That ADD, ADHD, Asperger's, autism, those things, those are naturally occurring things. They're in them, right? It's part of what their makeup is. But we talk about this whole idea of like nature versus nurture. I believe that a big part of the reason those are negatives is because they're not nurtured in their life in many ways. The fact that they're a social media generation thinking that literally socializing is the internet. That doesn't make any sense to us, but to them it makes perfect sense and they can't imagine anything else. So that would be where the nurturing has an effect on that nature of the whole generation. They're insecure and they're overly self-aware. That's just a fact. All of these things that I listed, and I think this goes back to that nurture, right? All of these things, terrible at connecting, terrible at inferring, slow to open up, short attention span, insecure and overly self-aware. All of these are accepted at home, and they're not generally challenged. Hmm. Why? Because their parents are mostly Gen X. And Gen X is scared to death of being seen as overbearing or demanding because
That's true.
The generation before them, they felt was overbearing and demanding.
Yeah. Being a Gen Xer myself, I would agree with that.
Yep. And so the fears, and we see this generation after generation, right? The fears of the generation before funnel to the weaknesses of the generation that comes after. Now, as far as positives, they're kind, they're accepting, they're curious, they're submissive and honoring, which is pretty incredible. Now, obviously, a lot of them are teenagers, but if you compare them with teenage millennials, right, much more submissive and honoring. And I can tell you this. The only way we could probably do a youth camp with the staff that we had for a whole entire week with 174 would be if, by and large, there is an honoring aspect there. They're not out of control and reckless. Part of the reason for that is because they're primarily concerned with what others think. And if you're concerned with what others think, then you're not going to do something that could potentially cost you in the social arena. They also have such little social capital that they can't afford the cost in the social arena. And so I think this also goes back to why they end up being more conservative. They're easy to culture, which is phenomenal if you're a good leader. If you're a bad leader, that's a bad thing. This would scare a lot of parents that wonder whether they should put their kids in public school or whether they should put them, you know, or whether they should homeschool them. They're way too easy to culture. I believe that there are people that you can put in their lives that can help benefit this thing and turn that into a positive instead of being a negative. And I believe that relates to the last thing. They're a hungry generation. And they're hungry for what millennials don't want, right? Millennials want spectrums. Millennials want choice. But Gen Z wants yes and no. They want black and white. They want you to tell them the truth and to be honest and direct.
Well, that's because they're not getting any of that
exactly.
in culture.
Exactly. And they see the product of that in their older brothers and sisters, right? Like, I'm a millennial.
Right.
My sister's Gen Z.
Right.
And we're the only two in the household. So she got to watch my generation hustle and struggle in a bad way, and they've compensated for that in different ways that they see things. And so part of that leads to that more conservative mindset of right and wrong, yes and no, black and white. And if you'll put leaders in their lives, even if it is leaders who, like me, I'm only with them on a Wednesday or on a Sunday, right? But I could say that I could have more influence in a student's life being more clear with my yes and no's and right and wrongs than a teacher who's with them 5 days a week who is giving them a spectrum of belief because they don't identify with that.
In online, I looked this up, woke culture, it means social awareness, being alert to social issues, racism, discrimination, and injustice, right?
Yep.
You're telling me something very different than what I expected. What I expect you to say was that I'm experiencing Gen Z being very woke. You're actually telling me that's not really the case. Now, Pepper, is some of that because you're dealing with kids in the church a lot, or do you think that's just generally true of Gen Z?
I think that it's easy to mesh millennials and Gen Z together and not see where that split begins because they internalize so much. So you look at these young people who are making noise, and it's hard to tell which group are they with, like which segment are they with. Now, this isn't to say that there aren't very, very liberal or progressive Gen Zers. There obviously are. But I would say they're mostly that way because of how they've been cultured, less so because they are naturally built that way.
Now, what about the issues of gender? Let's talk about gender identity for a moment.
Yeah.
The definition of marriage, the in general viewpoint within the liberal part of our culture that says, you know, pro-choice is the right choice, right?
Yeah.
Are you where is Gen Z standing on that? Are you I'm assuming they're coming in going, hey, you know, we should embrace gender identity, embrace this, embrace that. What's the viewpoint that you're experiencing?
So check this this out. This is actually a pretty crazy thing. It's in that same Forbes article that I mentioned before. Oftentimes millennials have been criticized for being notoriously liberal, but it looks like the generation right behind us has completely rebelled. A UK study at the Guild did a survey of almost 2,000 adults and found that on issues like gay marriage, marijuana legalization, transgender rights, and even tattoos, 59% of Gen Z respondents described their own views as conservative and moderate.
That's
59%. Now, contrast that with 83% of millennials and 85% of Gen X who responded to the same questions in the opposite direction.
That's really interesting.
So when I talk about a gap, I mean, you're talking a jump of 85% to 83% between Gen X and millennials. This is typical trajectory. But then you jump opposite spectrum from 83%, 85% saying that their views are quite or very liberal to now this group of Gen Zers saying 59% of them are moderate to conservative. That is a wild jump.
Okay, now what about the issue of pornography? Prevalent in our culture. Gen Zers, you've got to have students that are dealing with this, right?
Yeah.
But what is your viewpoint, or what are you seeing their experience and their viewpoint with pornography?
Yeah, I think the mainstreaming of pornography has led to what we've seen as a decline of subscribers that are males. Within Gen Z in pornography. So that's been one thing that in youth ministry, I'm seeing that as a strong battlefront that people are presenting. And I feel like they're missing it a little bit because they're doing these, you know, let's get all these Gen Z males together and talk about why they shouldn't watch pornography. Well, they're so overexposed to it, it's not even exciting anymore. Like if they watch a cologne commercial or a perfume commercial, they're seeing it, you know, and to them it's just like, right, whatever.
Super Bowl halftime.
Exactly. However, who we should begin speaking to is within Gen Z. Females are on the increase when it comes to watching or subscribing to different pornography outlets.
I think it's being marketed to them.
Yes, it absolutely is. Yeah. And I think it's because they noticed the trend before the church did. And so they hit it and they went after the females because they knew that's where they needed to go. So we need to go there too.
We're going to talk next about biblical literacy and the Gen Z generation, the biggest generation on the planet. Not necessarily the most woke generation on the planet, as maybe some of us think. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Pepper Elliott, youth pastor extraordinaire here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area.
Like face to face, I got major swag right now, you know? So you have like, let's go away from belly button rings and crop tops. Let's start flirting again.
Belly button rings and crop tops. How's that for a topic on the Steve Noble Show? This is Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble today, talking about the biggest generation on the planet right now, Gen Z, between the 90s and 2000s. They are the generation of follow millennials who are the children of Gen Xers like me. And in fact, Pepper, you and I are one generation apart, right? Because your parents and I went to college together, your uncle and those kind of things. You've been a youth pastor here in the Raleigh the last 6 years, been involved in youth ministry longer than that, grew up in the ministry. You've got two beautiful kids. And God has really blessed you with a great youth ministry.
Yeah.
If folks want to know more about youth ministry, where do they go? We're going to go online somewhere or what?
You can hit us up anywhere at c.a.youth. That's our tag. That's our handle.
All right.
And then if you want us to holler back at you, I've got an incredible assistant named Austin who would love
to
talk
with
you. Shoot us an email at youth@crossassembly.org. We'd love to connect with you. And if you have students, We'd love to get them to come
and
hang
if
out.
Any parent is having a hard time with their teenagers, you will have the answer to every one of their questions. Is that
right?
Oh,
yeah. And I can solve like major counseling issues in one session.
I'm sure you get parents that are like, please help.
Yes.
Help. Yep. What can you tell me?
There is no 12-step program. A revelation from God is all that's going to work, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The best advice my dad ever said he heard about parenting, I'm the oldest of three boys, was the doctor who delivered my youngest brother said to my dad in the hospital, he said, well, Tom, if you just keep them alive that are 25, they'll be fine.
Enterprise knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't rent cars to 22-year-olds. Yeah, sure, you can drink, but you can't rent a car.
All right, so we've been talking about the biggest generation, woke culture. You said, hey, they're really more conservative than people think.
Yeah.
They're very insecure. And I would just look at our culture and say, well, our whole culture is insecure. There's just incredible uncertainty. Not to open a can of political, you know, worms, but I also think currently it looks like nobody's leading our country. So I think there's just this vacuum of leadership right now. Where is this generation when it comes to biblical literacy? The questions they have about God, the questions they have about the Bible. Do you need good apologetics when you're talking to students, whether they're in the church or not? Because one of my arguments that I think happened in my generation was we should have been, our generation, the Gen Xers, probably should have had more apologetics in the conversations because we were really raised with a generation that was just saying, hey, just believe the Bible, right? Yeah. And then you go to college and you're like, well, yeah, that's a good question. I never thought about that. But I'm curious what your experience as a youth pastor with knowledge of the Word of God. Obviously, some of these students are growing up in homes where probably there's a lot of exposure to the Bible, right? And so maybe that's not a good example. But talk to me about their biblical literacy and their viewpoint on the Bible and Christian values.
Biblical literacy is as close to zero as you probably could get.
All right, so does that change how you have to teach them?
100%. Yeah. Now,
can you give me an example? Like, if you're trying to teach something and you went, oh, man, I can't assume they know this. How does that come out?
So, like, a big part of the reason we went to strictly expository teaching, which is mad old school, right? Like, the guys like John MacArthur are doing that, not the cool guys like Stephen Furtick. But the reason that we went to that was because of asking a question like, hey, does anybody know who Jonah is? You know, one of the more common stories in the Bible. There's a million cartoons about it. Kid finally got the guts to raise their hand and said, didn't he have a big boat? Oh, no. You know, like we're in a bad situation when we don't even know like the basic stories. And so there is massive illiteracy.
Which is not their fault.
No.
It's not their fault.
It's because they're multiple generations removed from the value of the Word of God in the home.
Right.
And so what we've done with the expository teaching is, hey, let me put the Word of God in your lap. Let me walk you through it, and let me show you the power of what just a couple verses can do. That this can literally revolutionize the way that you see the world and the way that you live your life just by, you know what, let's hit Mark chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. And just in that few verses, and you'll have these students come up to you afterwards who maybe have not been around this before, and they're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, oh, this is how you do that. Let's empower you to do that. And now we've got students in our youth ministry, and this is the craziest thing to me, running around talking about biblical precedent.
All right.
When have you ever had a teenager say those two words?
I tell you, one of the most encouraging things listeners would probably, Steve's listener would like to hear, Pepper, and again, we're talking with Pastor Pepper Elliott, youth pastor at Cross Assembly here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Talk to them about that insane Monday morning prayer thing you do.
Yeah, so
God has not called me to. I just want you to know. I asked the Lord, and He said, "No, I'm not even up at that point myself." But anyway,
honestly, we were curious about whether or not the Lord would speak at such an hour. But honestly, it started with me. I felt like I wanted to get better about disciplining myself to pray. One of the things we say all the time is, "It's not service until there's sacrifice," and I believe that God shows up when we're willing to give of ourselves and sacrifice something. And so I decided, I had asked my leaders, which one of you goes to work the earliest? And I wanted to account for them. And they had said they go to work at 5. So I was like, okay, well, it's got to be before 5. So we do Monday morning prayer at 4:30 every Monday, every single Monday. We do not take Mondays off. My kid was born on a Monday. My wife said, are you going to skip prayer? I said, you think I'm going to bring my kid into this world without praying? Are you kidding? What in the world are we talking about? We have middle schoolers
So I'm guessing you have like just a couple of students show up for that, or how many show up for that?
No, I mean we've had quite a few. We've had middle schoolers, we've had high schoolers, we have parents. Somehow they've talked their parents into driving them, which is incredible.
As a dad of a teenager, that might be the only thing that would make me mad is if my kids said, "Please drop me off Monday morning at 4:30." I'd be like, "Pastor Pepper, I don't care what music you play, teach, but this 4:30 thing."
I've actually had a couple of parents that came to me and they were like, "Hey, my kid said this. Let me just tell you, we're not bringing them." And what's funny is we've FaceTimed them in. They've done it from their bedroom. It's crazy. It's a cool thing. It's really cool.
Well, you know, what about, are you seeing a hunger for the Word of God in Gen Z?
An absolute hunger for the Word of God.
What kind of response are you seeing to the gospel with them?
I would say a deeper response than we've seen in the past.
What do you mean by deeper?
They want the charge of the Word of God, which is to taste and see, right? This is the charge of the Word of God, that we would taste and see that the Lord is exactly who he says he is. And where the millennial wants to conform the Word unto itself, right? They want to see themselves in light of something greater, right? And so you have this generation who is looking at the Word of God like, prove yourself to me. And you've seen, just as I've seen time and time again in the Word of God and in our own lives, where when we step into God's presence and we say, prove yourself, he shows up. And that's what's been happening on our Wednesday nights. That's what's been happening at our events. And I believe a lot of our growth pattern comes from these students who are saying, oh, snap, I now know. I now have tasted for myself. And that's the power of revelation. And when you have a generation that's actually hungry for revelation itself, it gives God the opportunity to show up and do his thing instead of having to have him break down all of the things that get in the way of him being able to speak to you, which I think has happened a lot with the millennial generation, is that God is spending a massive amount of time through the power of the Holy Spirit breaking down all of the obstructions to experiencing him. With them, they just want to know.
How much does the home still matter?
The home matters greatly. I'll say this. The greatest stumbling block for Gen Z is the patterns and habits of the home. This is why we need to take it upon ourselves as parents, right? And it's challenged me as a parent to be a shepherd. I can no longer just say, I'm dad. Right, I have a biblical role that's been set before me to shepherd these kids, and I have them for 7 days a week. So I get to shepherd for 7 days a week, and if I start taking days off, it's gonna have, you know, it's gonna take a toll on them. It's gonna have an effect, and I think the subtle habits of what I say and what I do, it greatly affects my kids. And with Gen Z, that's the case, because that's what begins to define their norm. And if you have a student who is absolutely hungry for the Word of God, and yet the Word of God is not a prevalent reality in their home, then now I'm asking my 14-year-old to be the biblical leader or the setter of the standard of the Word of God in my home, which isn't fair. It isn't their job. It isn't what we see as biblical responsibility. And so it is important now more than ever that the family unit comes together and takes a good hard look at what the Word of God presents as a biblical family unit.
So mom and dad still matter.
Yes. And I would say this generation is hungry for dads. Hungry for dads. Millennials were a fatherless generation. This generation is the next generation removed from a fatherless generation. And so now that hunger for dads, I think what I see a lot is students are drawn toward our ministry. We have a very strong male presence within our ministry of men who are willing to step up and lead.
We have strong female leaders too.
Absolutely. I think most youth ministries do. I think what I've seen from a lot of people who have come in from other youth ministries is they've noticed the ratio of male leaders to female leaders, and they've been shocked by that number. There's a pretty normal ratio of male to female leaders, and by and large, in youth ministry, it's dominated by females. It's most likely going to be college-age females that are serving in your youth ministry, and we don't see that in ours. And it shows the power of when you have that strong male leadership that we see in the Word of God in our ministries.
So we've been talking about the biggest generation on the planet here today on the Steve Noble Show with Pastor Pepper Elliott, youth pastor, Cross Assembly. It sounds to me like, despite how confused our culture is.
Yep.
That God is still moving in young people's lives.
Yeah.
And there's still hope, and the gospel still works.
Yeah.
It still works.
Undoubtedly.
And if you are a parent of a Gen Zer or somebody is an influence on them, hear what Pepper said. They need people to set a standard.
Yep.
Amen. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. I appreciate it.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.